Let's continue where we stopped last time. For the last two sessions of this, our School of Prayer, we have been talking about how faith works in prayer. And what I'm trying to do actually is to make it a very simple, but that's how it's supposed to be, all right? Not a difficult thing, to help us to relate with it and realize that faith is simple. It is simple. It's just something that is an attitude. Let me summarize it like that. It's an attitude. When I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, you know, I've said this again and again. Why I did was that I was asking myself, if a stranger were to show up at my door and demand for my last meal, why would I give it to him? Are you getting my point? Like the widow of Zarephath did when Elijah showed up at her door, you know? Just showed up there and said that God said to him that she come and collect her food. Well, he didn't say God said that. He just said that God said that the food will not finish, so he should give she should give him something to eat. And then she just went ahead and did that. You know, it's quite remarkable. All right, that's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's, you know, it bothered me. I said, why did she believe him? What if he was lying? And if you are living in the country we are living in today, not the country, in the world that we are living in today, all you need to do is tune on to what we call Christian television, right? International networks, especially the ones that come from North America. And you see what people call prophecies and how people do the ministry of the Word of God. And if you believe everything you are told, it's likely that, anyway, maybe you are not informed enough. Are you getting my point? Now, so imagine that kind of situation. You live in that kind of environment. And somebody now shows up and gives you a word, supposedly from God, and is going to, because of that, take half of what you have already. Are you getting my point? You had 200 naira you were managing. They said that God says the money will not finish, so you should bring 100. Why didn't he just say it and go away? You understand my point? And come back next year. And when the money hasn't finished, you will now give him a portion. All right? So it's quite remarkable. So I wonder to myself, why did she do it? And that was when the Holy Spirit gave me understanding, which I put together in that book, which I titled Great Faith Can Be Yours. What I had to explain there is that faith is a habit, and when you need a very high level of faith to do something that is out of the ordinary, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. That's what the Bible calls the gift of faith. That is, the time comes in which you have to stand up and face challenges that are much more difficult than you will ever have imagined you could handle by yourselves. Yet, you do it. And it's not because you have the faith in yourself. It's because God gave you what the Bible calls the gift of faith. At that particular point in time, I've reasoned about it. You know, why I'm saying this is the reason why I'm saying all of this is for us not to look at David. He faced Goliath, and you knew if it was you. No, now back you go back Goliath to. Now when Goliath comes in one way, you will go seven ways. And it's not your fault. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have had time to settle down and consider it. I mean, you think about Abraham. Abraham waited for an only child, or for the promised child, though he had another one. That's Ishmael. He waited for the promised child for 25, not 25 years. Yeah, so 25 years, 75 to 20, to 100. And then one day the Lord showed up and said, okay. And not for 25 years now, that's after that 25 years, another, let's say, 15, 17 years passed, and the Lord now showed up one day and said, okay, come and sacrifice the child. And you will wonder, will I love God so much so as to make that kind of decision, take that kind of action in obedience to his word? What am I saying to you again today? Don't worry about it. What did I say? What did I say? It's very important you don't worry about it. Why is it important? Or how will you not worry about it? Just remember that these people were people of like passion. All right? Don't think that David didn't used to do anything that was bad. If you read the story of David well, you know many of us may have been better, we have had better character than that young man. You get my point? I'm not saying that he was a bad person, but I just want you to bear in mind that you should not be worried. When you see such challenges come upon people, all right, and they overcame them, don't worry, you can do it too. What did I say? What did I say? Now, not by your own strength. They didn't do it by their own strength. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. They didn't do it by their own strength. And therefore, you would not also do it, all right, by your own strength. You say, if they put me in front of the fiery furnace, will I bow to the idols? Listen to me, you will not bow. Amen. What did I say? I said, okay, you don't know me. Now, the reason why I'm saying that, all right? If we don't, if, you know, if you keep on looking at those people as if, man, they were very high spiritual giants. Therefore, what they did, I will not be able to do it. That's going to be, you are going to put a limit on God's power working in your life. Actually, why God told their stories. Hey, anyway, I've learned to just say at the Holy Spirit talking, all right? So let me not try and fix what I want to say. If we can get to where what I want to say, we'll get there. If we can't, we'll continue next time. No, be so. So, why the Holy Spirit told their stories in the Bible is to let you know they were just like you. Are you getting my point? Why did the Holy Spirit tell their stories? To let you know that they were just like you. They forgot to pray. They didn't pay somebody they were owing. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it was a habit with them to be doing bad things. I'm trying to say that they also did things that were not perfect. But there are some important qualities about them, which you as a child of God should also have. They love the Lord. They love righteousness. But they were also tabernacled in this thing called flesh. And that's why David said, he's mindful that we are but flesh. Are you getting my point? It's very important. Very, very important. So when God told their stories, it was not to show you, look at what great spiritual giants have done. You are still there. Which is what a lot of us who don't realize it as preachers, that's what we do. You set a high pedestal and tell Christians, look at you. People like you, they died for the faith. And you are here going to work for the faith. Some of you are going to school for the faith. Your mates those days, they were out there dying for the faith. Listen, let me tell you the truth. When it is your turn to die for the faith, you will die gladly. Did I hear an amen? When it's your turn to do great things for the faith, you also will do it. It's just that it's not yet your turn. Your turn right now is to go to school for the faith. Amen? Amen. It is to wear tie for the faith. All right, my friend? It's very important to understand it. The Bible didn't tell the stories of those people so that we'll feel small, you know? We'll feel too little. We'll feel like we are failures. The Bible did not tell those stories for that reason. He told those stories for the other reason, to let you know that Elijah, he prayed and it did not rain. He prayed and it began to rain. And the first thing he said about Elijah, let's read that one. He said the man was of like, in fact, let's read James chapter 5. I'm going to read it from different translations just to emphasize the point. If you read from verse 16, it said, from the second part, it said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Of what kind of man? I can't hear you. His prayer can accomplish much. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruits. And the Bible says Elijah was a man with a nature like yours. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Very important we understand that. All right? Verse 17 of the first one I read is New American Standard. I want to read New Living Translation. It says Elijah was as human as we are. No, it's very important you understand it. Elijah was as human as we are. I'm just trying to read different translations of it so that we'll get the point, all right? If you read in Young's Literal Translation, it says that Elijah was a man like affected as we. That is his emotional reaction. That's the word affectation, all right? His emotional reaction, the way he used to respond to things, just like your own too. And the Bible calls him a righteous man. And he prayed, and God answered. He prayed, and God answered. There's something I'm trying to say in all of these things. When the Bible wrote that story, those stories in Hebrews chapter 11, it wasn't writing the stories of perfect people who knew how to do everything perfectly, and therefore God had no choice but to move when they sneezed. No, they were normal people who loved the Lord. Are you getting my point? Which is what I began speaking about last time. You know, for 2 sessions now, we've spoken about how faith works. The first time I said You shouldn't make fear a habit. Last time I began to speak specifically on the subject, and I said that, look, we read from Psalm 73, verse 25. But the psalmist said, who do I have in heaven but you? And I said, because of that, the natural, that is the outward expression of that, is that on this earth, I don't desire anybody else. What it means is that I'm not trying to know a king. I'm not trying to know people who are in power. Because in heaven, I have God. I have him totally. All right? So we began to explain that. So that's how faith works. So faith is not something that is only for spiritual giants. That's what I'm talking about today again. It's something that's supposed to be normal to us. Elijah also used to wake up late and not do his work effectively. That's what I'm trying to explain. In fact, Elijah, if I tell the truth, you don't want to follow Elijah too much. I'm not joking about that. Even God got tired of Elijah at a point in time. A man who could stop the rain. Even God said, oh, enough, enough. Elijah was just tired. And now, we're not analyzing whether he was right to have been tired. But he was tired. And even because he was tired, God got tired. Say, okay, enough complaining. Oh, yeah, come. That's how he went. He said, okay, look, go and anoint this Elisha. He will go in your stead. Anoint this person, Jehu, who will do this one. Anoint. After that, you just, look, just come, let me take you away. The taking away was partly because Elijah was, no, if they have killed everybody, I'm the only one remaining. Because, oh, he has come again. There are 7,000 more people now. After a while, the man complained so much. He said that Jezebel is about to kill him. You know what he did? If you know, say amen. Are you sure you know? So what did he do? He disappeared. You two, you have been afraid of your landlord, so he sees not only you. When it was time to pay children's fees, you began, you know, he said school is opening next week. Some people have been like, you know, prayer has increased this week now. You know why? Schools are opening next week. And you go to church, or you go to your village meeting, or you go to your family meeting. And we are thinking about this project. Why are we always doing projects? What is it? It's because school is opening next week. Is all this fight? It's because school is opening next week. And you have just like 1 week after they open to finish paying the fees. So anybody brings any other idea, your wife will say that, I think Junior's uniform is fading. What is fading? This is the color he has always been. Elijah too heard voices like that. He too disappeared. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I'm trying to make? Elijah was a man of like passion. So if he got great results in prayer, you can also get great results in prayer. Do you understand my point? In fact, I believe this is my persuasion. Maybe Elijah was tired for many things. He was very busy. I mean, really, he was doing a lot of work, so that wore him out, maybe. Otherwise, if he had focused, he would have prayed, and Jezebel would have vanished. The prayer he used to hold rain, is it Jezebel that prayer can't hold? I'm not explaining something in all of these things. The stories were not told to let you see spiritual giants who did things you can never imagine. Let me say it to you. If you carry me now to Babylon also and say bow, I am sure I won't bow. Pastor Monkey, a strong man. No. I have found that those boys too were not strong. That's the reason why I'm telling you this. It is not because I have found that I'm strong. I have found out they too, they were not strong. They were boys of like passion like me. Why did they not bow? Shall I tell you? Because God said, nobody is bowing here today. If you don't know, go and read the book. Great faith can be yours. You understand what I'm saying? It's basically, they were strong. They liked their faith. Look, listen. All this your strength and love for your faith. They never blew fire for your face. Let me hold the electricity. They shock you small. Bow. Oh, God. Is this bow really necessary? Why are you shocking me like this? Let me tell you the truth. A normal human being will negotiate. So when you see four young men who refuse to bow, listen to me. A spirit entered into them and set them on their feet. Life is spiritual. So that's what I'm saying. The Bible didn't tell those stories so that you not feel inadequate. Don't come and preach. Look at it. At your age,
Men of old. So the Holy Spirit, why is it that he was able to do things in men of old? And men of now, he forgot. I mean, oh, come and preach any nonsense message to me to make me feel inadequate. You should let me know this is correct preaching. That it was not by their power. It was not by their might. It was by the Spirit of God. Your message should be teaching me how to connect with that Spirit, not to make me feel inadequate. They are there driving a car. You can't even preach to your neighbor. Some people were preaching in the jungle those days. You think they had more faith than me? Listen, the kind of passion that was driving them, all right, is driving me right now in another direction. If God were to turn things around and say, this time around, your life is jungle life. Listen, I will be enjoying swinging on the vines too. It's a spirit. That's what I'm going to explain. It was not their strength. It's a spirit. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That was what I tried to describe in there. God didn't tell the stories of those people. So he will be looking at them and say, man, they try. Oh, man, will the man go if he do this kind of thing? Man didn't do that kind of thing. Man never did that kind of thing. It was the Holy Spirit in them. You know, listen, I know what I'm telling you. It's not a joke. Some people are going to say, Pastor Banky, are you sure you're okay? But I will say it. The only reason David fought Goliath was that he didn't have sense. Go and digest that one. He said, Pastor Banky, he didn't have faith. You know the truth? He didn't have sense. No normal boy chases a lion to collect lamb. If there is life, there is hope. I pray you'll be able to decode what I'm saying. One day I read the story of one woman. I told you the story of Mary Kay Ash, how her husband stopped smoking. When the Bible talks about walking the Spirit, I have to get back to that message and re-preach it. I've not preached that thing properly. I heard the story of one old woman that her vehicle fell. I think they were jacking up a car. And you know, you've seen it before, the jack just slipped. And the car fell on her grandchild. This elderly woman jacked up a hole, you know, like a tundra. Picked it up until they pulled the boy. That is, at the end of the day, people couldn't believe it happened. An old woman. She picked a car, raised it up. Why? She didn't have time to think. Her grandchild was under the car. She didn't have time to think. She didn't remember the vehicle was supposed to be heavy. She did not remember anything. All she just knew that my grandchild is under this thing and it fell on him. She went there, raised the thing off the floor. You see what I'm talking about? When David pursued that lion, he wasn't thinking. That's my favorite lamb. The boy don't begin pursuing the lion. The lion said, but which kind of lion? Lion, I never seen that kind of thing before. I know he didn't go there to fight. Go and read your stories. Why? He didn't go there to fight. He went there to collect his lamb. It was when the lion looked for trouble, the boy had to defend himself. You're saying, Pastor Bangi, so what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that he didn't have the strength to kill a lion. But when events were put in motion, the Holy Spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. If David was 50 years old, 40 years at that time, with the same power of God, he would say, oh, that shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You take one sheep today, God will multiply it sevenfold. It's in the scriptures. The man will start reasoning it the other way. He will tell his sons, are you risking your life over a sheep? Are you no more valuable to me than the whole flock? He will start preaching a different gospel. No, really. May God give you understanding what I have said. Listen, go and read them argument to know. He said, if I had had the sense of accounting, I would never have done well in business. This is the same accounting that every Christian must know. He said, because he looked back and the things that, no, not done well in business, succeeded, let me put it like that, in that his enterprise. That the reason was that he looked back and every decision he made financially were stupid. They were crazy. Those things were not financially sustainable. They were not. Yet, God broke through somewhere along the way and made him exceedingly financially successful. Why am I saying all of these things? Don't even imagine that David was a great man of faith. Don't. David was a young boy who loved the Lord, and he lived all his life loving the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you would just simply love the Lord too, you'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will put inside your head to do. You'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will enter into you and make you effect. It's only when you look back and say, what? Did I do that? I hope you're feeling what I'm saying. One major reason David faced Goliath was that he didn't know life beyond that level. If I tell you this, it may surprise you. He may have been just a daring child. Oh God, I pray you get what I'm saying. I have a son like that. Lugwenga. As a little boy, he didn't understand how to fear things. You put him like he would jump down. Put him on the height, this high. He did it to me once. Thought I was playing. We went for a program in church. And so my wife wanted to participate. So I agreed to babysit, you know, like just handle the boy. So it was a big event. So there were a lot of activities. So I just stood outside. Oh, it was very little that time. I mean, little, maybe like 2 years or so or less. So it was running up and down. So I had to be pursuing. So at the point in time, I playfully picked him up and put him on a high fence, hoping that he would stand still. People thought I was playing. He just jumped. I'm not kidding. I had to rush and dive and catch. And you can be sure, Isaiah laughing. He thought it was only a joke. I'm like, this boy, do you realize what he just did? What if I wasn't looking? And really, I almost turned. Do you know, the boy dived into the air. He thought it was part of the play. Listen to me. I'm sorry. I pray you understand this. David may have had a bit of that in him. And God, the Holy Spirit, rode on that, went in there, killed Goliath. Are you getting my point? The Holy Spirit rode on all of those things. I'm going to emphasize something to you here. Great faith can be yours. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say it again. Great faith can be yours. Amen?
Amen.
You read the scriptures, don't think that Elijah was a man that, when he wants to pray like this, thunder could do kum, 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 kum. The man, when they told him, a housewife was looking for him. Oh boy, disappeared. I wanted to get that point. Yet, this was a man who prayed, and the whole nation was brought to his knees. He prayed, rain began to fall. Ahab saw him. Ahab said, is this the man who has been troubling Israel? In case you think he was so powerful in himself, he heard a threat. This is a man who just ended hundreds the lives of hundreds of Baal's prophets. Yeah, they said that tomorrow you are dead meat. Say, hey, this is Jezebel. The boy began to run. Even after a while, God got tired. Say, okay, hand over. He was tired. What's the point I'm trying to make? Let me say it again. Their stories were not told to make you feel little. No. Their stories were told to let you know that if they can do it, if they could do that, God can do even greater things through me. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. If they could do that, God can do greater things through you.
Amen.
And that's what the whole thing is about. I said this by explaining the fact that faith is supposed to be a normal part of our lives. It's not a great thing that you have to conjure up when you need it. No. It's not something that, who has great faith? There's a problem. Call Pastor Van. He knows how to pray that kind of prayer. No. My prayer is just as effective as yours. That's not a joke. Don't think I'm being humble. I like Pastor Man. He's very humble. Doesn't even think himself a great man of God. It is not humility. It is trutility. What did I call it? Trutility. It is not humility at all. It's just basic truth. It's basic truth. I don't know why people look for big men to pray. I wasn't brought up like that in the faith. I look for my friends to pray. If issues are down, the person I want to call is the person who I know is in agreement with me. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? That is the person who is in agreement with me, who is feeling what I'm feeling. The strongest person to pray with me, my problems, is my wife. My problems, you understand? They are directly connected to her. So it's my most potent prayer warrior. Not because of extra righteousness, but because of passion. Because of that tie. Nobody can pray for your child more than you. But if you come and say, Pastor Banky, pray about this child, I will pray about the child. And I might forget after a few days. But you know you can't forget. If Baba does not sleep, you don't sleep now. So when you do like this before God, everybody in heaven hears. You see, it's just for Christians to understand this. We don't understand it yet. That's what our problem is. Some people will pay ₦1,000,000 to be able to get the phone number of Pastor Iyadibo so he can pray. Listen to me. His prayer is not more effective than that guy sitting beside you. That's not supposed to be humility. I'm like, maybe I'm one of the pastors. No. It's the truth. It's foundational truth. If you will just understand it, listen, I'm telling you this, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Pastor E.S. Adeboye's prayer is not more effective than my own. Another is mine more effective than yours? Look at them looking surprised. You know, some Christians have never heard this one before. So they will travel from here to Lagos because they want to go and hear Papa pray. It's funny. If you want to travel, go and hear him teach. If there's an anointing, you know, it happens, all right? There's a special anointing in an area, go there, no problem. But if you're talking about answer to prayers, listen to me, it's a waste of time, except for the fact that your faith is there. That is what makes it effective. I don't know whether I get my point. And that's because God is just showing you mercy. No, say you still be picking. And those, you are still young, so it's all right, fine, no problem. Listen to me. It is ungodly for a Christian to be traveling up and down looking for prayers from a big man of God. Now, what's going on? Am I the only one here? I hope you are following me. Maybe I'm surprising you. I'm not. I'm sure a lot of people are surprised. Say, Pastor Bank, you know, you can't be serious about this. But trust me, I'm very serious about it. Elijah was a man of what? Like passion. A nature like your own. In fact, Kenegi said something when I read one of his books. He said the first time he heard the man called the righteous man, he was alarmed. How can you call this guy a righteous man? His own is that because his own upbringing, a man of faith, can't run. After all, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you understand? They did not run. You understand? Why was Elijah running? That is unrighteousness, okay? He said, until he read the scriptures that said that blessed is the man who God has not numbered his iniquities. He said, okay, God must have forgiven all his sins. That's why they called him a righteous man. And that's not a lie. All your sins are also forgiven in Christ Jesus. Is that here an amen?
Amen.
You know, I told you before, let nobody scare you. You are not going to hell. Somebody says, they went to hell. They saw a pastor there. Yes, any pastor can go to hell if he wants to go to hell. All he needs to do is deny Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So if you have not denied Jesus Christ, doesn't mean you and him are mates. You understand? He went to hell. It's his problem. He are not going anywhere. Who's going to hell here? Nobody. Thank you very much. If you are going to heaven, say amen.
Amen.
If you can go to heaven, see your prayer that will not be answered. You are getting the logic. It's simple. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Like I said, faith is an attitude. It's just for you to understand these things that we are saying. That's what it is. Just for you to understand these things that we are saying. That's what faith is. To just know that if it is serious to me, and I'm going to talk about that, all right? Today, I'm going to talk about that today. If it is serious to me, it's important to me, God will answer it. If it is serious to me, if I believe it is important, that is, if I'm really serious about it, God will answer it. He's not going to answer it because I'm anointed. No. He's not going to answer it because I've been a very, very good Christian all my life. Around nonsense. No, that's not why he answers the prayers. Let me say this to us again. There are two ways you handle life. You tackle the matter of spiritual work, all right, in this life. There is a side of sonship, that is being a child of God, and there is a side of servanthood. Is that the correct English there? This English has a way of confusing an adult sometimes. She's correct. There's a side of sonship, and there's that side of servanthood. Don't cross the two of them. What I mean is this. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. This is side of sonship. Let me start from the side of servanthood. This is side of servanthood. Anything you do for God is done, is final. You don't demand any reward. You hear what I said? The Lord Jesus said it directly. This is how correct servants, correct slaves, that's how they behave. Anything they do, they say, we have only done that which was expected of us, period. You gave an offering, and my first salary was 100,000 naira. I just took the whole thing, I gave it. It was my first fruit. I know from now, God will supply my need. Tell your neighbor, it's a lie. So I have always paid my tithe very regularly. It's always complete. Some people don't pay the whole tithe. I pay the whole tithe. If you don't tithe, your life will be tight. Tell your neighbor, it's a lie. I hope you're following what I'm saying. It is what? A lie. It is called godliness without contentment. You are doing works and you are demanding back from me. The Bible says, who has given to God that you should demand back from him? That's what they call the servant side. The servant side is anything I do it, I have done it, it is okay, it is done, final, what do I get from it? I'm not supposed to get anything from it, I don't care. If he wants to give anything back, that's his personal issue. It's for them to decide in the courts of heaven. So all this offering I have given, it is going to begin to yield fruit to me. You know, my future is secure because I have sowed seed. Tell your neighbor again, it's a lie. Say you are broke, you don't know it. Telling you the truth. If you are thinking like that, you're broke, your future is empty. You know, and God is kind. He will make you hungry properly. You will go to one guy. I invoke the power of the tithe. I invoke the power of the offering. God said, good, I'm not going to give you anything. Go and call police. You know what God is waiting for? After a while, he said, God, I beg now. Man, they're hungry. He said, you should have started from here. All this demanding, you're right. What kind of nonsense is that? Be careful yourself. Oh. I hope you have known what I'm saying. Now, that's the servant side. What is the sonship side? Now, listen to this. It's very interesting. Oh, God, serving God is good. Because God is very kind. He's very good. What is the sonship side? I come to him by the power of the blood of Jesus. I make demands also. But not because of what I did. Are you getting my point? No. But because of what Jesus did. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I'm a part of the family. So if they serve food, it is not, look, my children don't come and say that, you know, I've been cleaning your shoes. Where's my part of the bread? Do they say that? They just enter the house. Just come. Where's my own bread? That's it. Final. No negotiation. I'm supposed to have bread. Say, so how can there not be bread? I saw a loaf of bread that mommy brought in last night. Where is it? Do you understand? It's a strong voice. There's no begging, no placating in it. The bread is mine. I demand my portion of the bread. Where is my own ice cream? That's the way, you know, the way children even do it. Maybe somebody comes out of the room and is holding a bar of chocolate, chewing away. So, hey, where'd that come from? Mommy gave it to me. My wife knows. Once you give somebody something, just wait for the knock. Because my children have a rule, they must knock before they enter the room. Next thing is, co. I say, see, I told you. Victor said, you're the one that gave her biscuit. We gave him biscuit. You know, like, operate. Where's my side of it? Nobody walks in there and says, praise the Lord. Mommy, you know, yesterday, I was the one that swept the room. I cleaned the shoes. I arranged the wardrobe. Therefore, where's my biscuit? Is that so? No, they don't do that. It's like, I saw Victory eating biscuit. I heard it came out of here. I have come to collect my portion. We will negotiate based on that. There's nothing like, what have you done for me lately? That's what I call the sonship side of God. And of our walk with God. When we want to demand, we walk in directly based upon his promises. I am hungry. Give me food. You are the all-sufficient God. That's it. I'm the all-needing child. You are the heavenly father. I'm the earthly child. So let's arrange this thing. You supply, I eat. That's just the way it is. I mean, why should I have a God like you and I still be hungry? What kind of thing is that? That's it. It's final. There's no arrangement like, what have you given to me that I should be giving back to you? Say, God, stop that kind of joke. All the things Jesus gives you, you don't use them and finish. No, that's our arrangement with God. That's it, purely. I want to make our request, we make our request direct. It's simple. I'm a child of God. You love me. Don't you love me? If you don't love me, why did your son come to die for me? You gave me freely. Okay, God, this one I said I must sow seed before you give me something back. I'm sure they are lying in your name. Let's say, why? Because what did I give you before you gave Jesus Christ? What did I give you before you saved me? What did I give you before you did all those things for me? And Paul himself said it. He said that he that freely gave us his only begotten son, how much more will he freely give us all good things? Say, God, please, I beg, I need money. That's the way it is. Servanthood is a different matter. When servants work, they don't demand. But the correct word, by just being nice, that's what servant. The correct word that the Bible uses is slave. The correct word Jesus uses is slave. The correct word that Paul uses is what? Slave. They don't make demands. They just do their work. But the sonship side, let's not settle with it again. That's the main thing about our teaching for today. The sonship side is that, listen, I'm a child of God. That's it. Have you not sowed the seed for this? It doesn't matter. Let me say it to you again. I know I'm not popular in this, but I'll say it. Everybody says that, look, supply does not answer to prayer. It answers to seed. Tell the person, Pastor Frank says, Elisha. And I believe him because the Bible said it. That Jesus himself said, if you need anything, just pray about it. And that's it. It's final. So are you saying you're not going to give? He said, no, I'm also a servant of God. The giving side is a servant side. My supply side is a child side. You know, it's sonship side. Let's separate them. Let's not get confused. Please, I hope you have learned what I'm saying. It's important we understand this. You know, I want you to know that trying to explain a principle, all right? That faith is just an attitude. That's what it is. Those people that did great things, God didn't tell the story so that we'll feel, inferior. Thank you. That's the word. We'll feel inferior and we'll now start laboring hard to see what we can do to get there. God said, don't worry about that. I am the one that's working in you both to will and to do. All God is demanding of you and me is just love God and leave it there. So what if I'm afraid like Elijah? God said, good. At that point in time, Hebrews chapter 4, we read it, we run to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How do we do that? We just really kneel down and say, God, I just heard that Jezebel is looking for me. And you know, it's not good to run after we killed all these prophets of Baal. How could they run? But right now, my heart is doing jiggy, jiggy, jiggy. Once I hear the word J, my heart go do Z. So what do we do, Lord? Give me strength. Once you listen to me, if you do that, you will discover strength that will kill double the size of Goliath, and you are half the size of David. God is not saying anybody should be strong. Say, Goliath, we have killed your type before. He said, guys, hold me for back. Hold me on the run. No, nothing like that. If you see Goliath and you're afraid, what God says, just tell Goliath, wait. I have plans for you. You can go behind and say, Lord, I'm not going to lie to you. Just between me and you. I'm afraid of that fellow. Then you pray there. Then you come out again. Goliath scares you again. Say, Goliath, wait. I'm not through with you yet. Before the man says, Lord, let's settle this matter. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not supposed to be afraid of Goliath. Lord, help me. Let me not be afraid of Goliath. You come again. By the time you come like 2-3 times like that, so you just look at that Goliath. You won't fight. That is, fear will disappear. Suddenly you'll be feeling invincible. How do I know? Go and read the story of Jesus Christ when he went into the garden. That was what he was doing there. He thought he was trying to take a detour. No. When he saw the cross, he was fearful. It was fearful. If you understand what the cross means, you will understand. I'll talk about it on Saturday. He had seen the spiritual aspect of it, how it was going to play out. In fact, this is a summary of it. Go and look for the Passion of the Christ. Just go and watch the Passion of the Christ again. Imagine that you finish watching that film. The nurse says, your turn. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you all know the film. There's no Mel Gibson. There's one Roman centurion, a real one. And I tell you, you have 1 hour to get ready. You know how it is. You will begin negotiating. What is that? Did I do? How much is the money? You start negotiating. That was precisely what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, precisely. When he saw it, he too, he had flesh. You don't know he had? He did. He himself partook in flesh and blood. That's what the Bible said. And one of the things that's inside the flesh is this desire for preservation. That's why if someone wants to slap your face, you reflexly, God wild like that, reflexly, you move back. You raise a hand. So he too had it. That's the point I'm going to make.